Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Podcast today. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in. It is Intellectual Month here in February 2020. So excited for the powerful Intellectual Month. And I have a very fascinating guest on today to talk about maximizing our intellectual lives and to talk about NLP, some very interesting principles and strategies we're going to get into with today's guest, Eleni Sarantino. Did I do an okay job with that pronunciation there, Eleni?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate you coming to share your wisdom with the Lifebook community. Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
So listen, I want to dive into this so bad. Before we get started, though, can you give the audience some background on yourself and your work with NLP and all of your amazing practices?
All right. I'm just going to make it as brief as possible. So I'm Greek. I come from the city of Thessaloniki, which is the second city in Greece, and I studied economics. At some point in my late 20s, I moved to Holland, and because I couldn't really work initially because of language barriers before I learned Dutch, I got into the booming IT business. So I became a technical engineer and worked for Hewlett Packard at Oracle, and I was nice. Very happy. So both companies, they trained me heavily, giving me an enormous amount of support and growth. And at some point, because I started managing and team leading, they sent me for a coaching certification. And that's when I became a coach. And I started practicing a little bit on the side, but never really took it seriously because I used it mainly for my role in Oracle. And it, of course, changed in massive ways in my life. It wasn't enough on what was coming with NLP. Later on, I moved to Dubai, still with Oracle initially. And that is when I ran into NLP. And for the life of me, I had no idea what the name stood for. And the only thing that somebody told me was, go, it's about the unconscious, you have no idea, you don't know what you don't know, just go, take a leap of faith. And of course, NLP is very close to coaching. And I remember that first day, and probably I repeat this in every podcast or video shoot or anything I've ever shared, a TV program or radio. It's always the same. That first day on my NLP course, intensive course of 6 days, where I was told that the manual basically of my mind was out for a while now, and that the unconscious, which until then I thought was just for mental cases, let's say,
sure.
serious issues, or when you faint, it was actually something I owned and directed my life for the bigger part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mesmerized. And it was a 2 minute first negative shock. Like, seriously? I had been learning and studying so many different things, geography, history, mathematics, let alone engineering or anything. And nobody told me that actually we need to learn about how our brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you go to a very positive shock and you say, wow, we still have a chance. So many generations passed on and they'll never know. So on that first day, I already shared with my husband that I would eventually change career, despite the fact that I was absolutely excited and ecstatic to work for Oracle. Because I just had to pass it on the message. So
wow.
That's how I ran into NLP. So NLP became my
changed your life forever.
Just because basically, totally, in ways that I couldn't even imagine. And then a few years later, I really got into leadership coaching. I got heavily into corporations and SMEs and any size companies. And when I finally, for a decade now, moved to Malaysia, all this really got a new level. And for 90%, my work is with business.
Mm.
So I every day talk about leadership, talk about communication skills, talk about sales, talk about emotional intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. Everything there is to actually lead a team, I talk about. I train lawyers.
That's incredible.
Accountants.
That sounds like you're living your purpose.
Yes, thank you very much. Which is truly, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the purpose of somebody else or it's the common truth. You should find the purpose. But for my liking, I literally touch what we say and never work. And it's fantastic getting paid as well.
That's a great place to be. Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to just clarify for the listeners. Maybe someone's never heard of NLP. Tell us what it stands for and what it means, not just the acronym, but what a good description of it would be.
Absolutely. So what, as you can imagine, I get, because for 10-15% I run public courses all over the world, in 5 continents, actually. So as soon as there are 10 people who want to change their life, that's where I am. I start Africa in 2020. So what it is I get 10 calls a day. Like, I'm interested in changing my life. I'm interested in going from A to B, or I have an issue. Could you help me? And what is NLP about? And what I say always is, you can tell me beautifully your story and the content of the story. Like, I'm facing this issue. It could be parenting. It could be relationships. I'm not liking love, or I'm going through a divorce. I would just like to get promoted eventually. I would like more money. I don't get along with my parents, my self-esteem issue, anything. I will hear attentively, and I will honor that. At the end of the day, my answer is the same. NLP is about the manual of the unconscious and how your mind works, which means you. And if you are interested in the slightest to know how your television set works, or your washing machine, or your phone, or, the cable, wouldn't be a little bit interesting to know how you work? Because that's what is going to make the light basically be switched on. You will really live in the dark. And it's part of evolution. It's nobody's fault. And obviously, we have the ages of Renaissance, from century to century, and we're just going every time a step ahead. But we're living in one fascinating era nowadays. And NLP, whatever it has said for 45 years now, is heavily being backed up by neuroscience right now. So the benefits are, it's going to help with every single domain of your life, especially when you're ready and you take responsibility. It absolutely addresses any internal conflict. And it will move you. It just shifts internal conflict to constant negotiation. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel more secure inside. And if we talk about security issues nowadays, it's all about building fences and gun controls that you have in the States and all that. As you know, probably that one of the biggest threats is our security inside and diseases that we have to fight from the inside.
Exactly.
Talking about mental disorders, talking about cancer, heart disease, diabetes, psychosomatic environment.
It's the incredible stimuli of this crazy society that we've crafted. There's all these new stressors on us. You know what I mean? Do you feel that is kind of, the root of a lot of this, I feel, you know?
Absolutely. And I would like also to finish my string of thought here is NLP shifts your thinking from a fixed mindset to a flexible growth mindset. And it also makes you wonder and ask yourself very, very profound and simple questions. Who is your family? And what is family? And before you go out and want to help your children or your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, or your associates, or wanting badly changing your parents or your colleagues, start with the family that you were entrusted, which is yourself. I call sometimes our environment inside these billions or millions of Smurfs, you call it? In America, you know, the blue little people, and they all have the strooms. I don't know how you call it. The little people all have a task, and they all need to talk to each other. and they all need care and they all need attention. And whenever we face internal conflict, because there's a friction and some kind of preference to some parts of ours and hiding some other ones or not listening to them.
Yeah, I totally feel you on this kind of need to understand the impact of our own programming. You know, that's such that's so high on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but we're there now and it's very, very real. So we need to understand it and kind of have a healthier relationship with our programming. Can you talk about why language and this specific linguistic programming is so impactful on one's overall life experience?
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to the acronyms. So it's NLP, N stands for the nervous system. So basically, you again. L is for language, and P is programming. Now, the language is just a part of it. Just a part of it. So N is really the bigger part, even though the linguistic part is huge. So you're really reprogramming your nervous system, your whole experience inside. What happens is from 0 to 7 years old, roughly, you don't have the logic yet. You don't have your conscious part developed. So what happens is whatever anybody tells you goes straight to the unconscious and it's written in golden letters pretty much forever. Mm-hmm. Unless you go back and you say, wait a minute, I was programmed by others, which is quite frightening if you think about it. But that's how, you know, we are created.
Right.
And I'm sure there's huge wisdom in this because we're connected. The thing is, though, at some point, if you want things to change, you absolutely need to open that part, which is the bigger part of,
yes,
and defines every single decision we'll ever make. So before I even go to the linguistic part, the nervous system has many tools and techniques and all the theory and the functions and mechanisms how it works that you can reprogram now that you know that you are the adult, your relationship with yourself.
Autonomous.
And you can,
yes.
Exactly. You are in control. So if you will, about the linguistic part, the language, in NLP, everything is about the internal experience. So when we talk about language, we talk basically for both. We talk about the language within.
Self-talk.
As well as,
right.
Exactly, as well as our communication with everyone else. But it always, the focus starts with our self-talk, as you beautifully said. So if our self-talk is self-defeating and focuses on things we don't want, well, as a consequence, that's how we're going to express to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically how everybody, in a way, in some intrinsic, intuitive, unconscious way will sense the limitation there. And we all have limitations in our thinking. I mean, nobody has been raised by perfect parents because that would be totally imperfect to begin with. So,
right.
And other people already makes you embrace also the limitations. And that heavily manifests in language and the self-talk. So what does language, if you want to go specific on language? Language, we thought initially it was for poets, for writers. It was very specific to public speakers, to scholars. And it was purely for the rest of us a communication tool.
Hmm.
It turns out, not at all. So language is a leading force.
Hmm.
And it presupposes, creates and recreates and deinstalls and installs beliefs, which is,
wow,
basically who we are. It promotes our deservingness and our self-worth or not. And one of the most important things, it influences our focus, what our attention goes.
Yes.
So let's say, again, we had a reminder, as you can imagine, we have quite some sessions here at home. My kids have been raised very much into the NLP world, as much as I also try to protect them, not overloading them. But language is a very big thing. And another thing is that being Greek, a Greek knows that you have to focus on learning foreign languages. And I would heavily invest on learning, I don't know, English and French and German, especially back in the day in the 80s when I was growing up. And what I found out with NLP was, wait a minute, it's not only about foreign languages that totally and utterly make you and help you get in the shoes of somebody else of a different culture altogether, because you get in their model of the world. But what about my Greek to begin with? Like, it just stopped expanding after I was 18 because I thought I spoke Greek. And with NLP, I realized, wait a minute.
Right.
And if we talk about everyday practices, I would strongly encourage everyone, not only learn a foreign language, because you don't have to speak it perfectly, but it would already get you into the way of thinking of another person, and you will build a bridge much easier. But learn your own native language by learning every week, I don't know, three new words, or focusing on three words you don't use as much, but you would like to, and start incorporating them, or structures. Like, there are so many different ways to say things, and the sequence of what you put first and what you put last.
So true.
In a sentence, or a clause, and paragraphs.
And so true.
That makes you express in an elegant way, a far more elegant way.
That's a really interesting thought, because what other pursuit do you just stop after that certain time? Like, that's such a good point. And it saddens me to think that the art of conversation is lost, because it is so powerful. I mean, like you said, the way it affects one's own experience is incredible. But it's also always fascinated me, like, here we go off on a tangent, but I'm going to do it. It's funny if you look at, like, you know, fantasy movies or fantasy books, and whenever someone would be casting a spell, they would use words to create energy. And I think that that's, like, really a really interesting thought, that that's existed throughout, not just, you know, fantasy, but throughout history, you know, spells and curses and chanting and all these things. It's like, words really are magical. They really are powerful. And if you want to get more realistic with it, like, look back at the Roman times. If you were an orator, if you were a great orator, you could take over the world. You could take over the known world. You know what I mean? Like,
you still do.
Exactly. Awesome. That hasn't really changed, I don't necessarily think. I just think the conversation is kind of definitely shifted and maybe suffered a little bit, or atrophied a little bit, or something like that. But do you agree that words really are magical?
I think that's one of my favorite words to begin with. And I think if you want to lead, while, of course, a leader is a servant, it just gives you a huge advantage. But in every role, this is not just for Martin Luther King.
Jr. Right, exactly.
This is for a parent. It doesn't happen on the side. We have got to just give it time and allocate time and invest time. Even if it is half an hour a month, small does it, it doesn't matter. Just start a journal and, first of all, catch what are your favorite words, how well you repeat again and again, whereas you could just add on adjectives or different ways to get your point across, and see the reaction of people. Start building rapport by saying, well, what words do they choose? I thought, actually, when I was a kid, that if somebody would say amazing, I would absolutely have to say wonderful, because that would give him respect for his word, and I would be original with mine. And it turns out, as you know, it is a thought, it is not, you know, it has value, but there's also the other very strong mechanism that builds your instant rapport, that if somebody says amazing, well, just go with amazing, because you speak their languages and you enter their world. So you see their point of view much faster.
That's so
and
fascinating.
And that's good for everything.
I like that. I like that a lot. But I want to turn it back to the specific practices that you work with in NLP. Talk to me about the principles behind this, you know, neuroprogramming work and what it does, you know, the benefits it can provide.
I think I mentioned that it will basically tell you how you work, that it will absolutely start working against any internal conflict. And of course, the number one is awareness. Awareness. Mm-hmm. It's the manual. It's awareness. And often more often than not, in every single society. And I'm definitely one of them, and work in progress, is that because we didn't know, just because we didn't know, not that it's anybody's fault again, we didn't know up until now.
Yes.
We relied so heavily on the conscious part, on the technocratic part, the pragmatic, which is fabulous. It's just that we overstimulated it. So talking about the intellectual week that you invited me for, what is an intellect? Already there, let's take a close look of the definition. An intellect used to be someone who, basically all the great advantages, and sorry I'm deviating a little bit, but I'm going to make a connection here. Mm-hmm. So what is an intellect? An intellect is it really reads and loves learning. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of basically living an intellectual life and being intellectual. And I had that at home. So my both parents were writing much into books. They were both engineers. And that was very much stimulated.
Wow.
And I really love learning, and it's a gift. So, and a lot has been said, so I'm not going to repeat about what beliefs can actually get into these first 7 years of life that would have the opposite result, that you never read or you never learn, and that would be really a catastrophe, a shame.
Right.
But back then, we only knew that if I read, I don't know, the likes of Shakespeare or Russian writers, American writers, Hemingway, that you were an intellectual. But there were some limiting beliefs because of lack, again, of knowing about the unconscious, that it meant, if I'm an intellectual, I'm just going to sit and read all day while my body decays, maybe, or my relationships suffer.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't use that knowledge. I'm just collecting information for the sake of it. It's nice. It's fun. It frankly, it could become an addiction. I mean, there is a reading addiction.
Sure.
So, of course, NLP brings balance, which we are craving for and we need so much nowadays, because we were really grown up with only one leg, basically, knowing the conscious. So imagine how your life would be if you just had both legs.
Right.
Which is what it is. And that's what NLP does. And that's where the conflict starts being diminished dramatically. So read, but learn that all learning is unconscious. And unless you walk your talk and you make use of that learning that benefits you, all areas in your life and your environment and loved ones and further environment, learning is just for you and not even, like, it's just for a very small part of enjoying and at some point getting some self-worth, because I'm intellectual, but it will create a friction with everybody else who are chilling or playing sports, who have fun, who like silence for the sake of silence, who days in front of the beach, who, you know, they enjoy the sun, they meditate. You just won't. So learning needs to be unconscious, needs to be passed on to the unconscious, and that's what we're doing in NLP.
That's so fascinating. I like the way you phrase that. Can you share with my audience some strategies, some exercises, or things that we can engage in to become more aware of this programming and have a healthier relationship with it, like I said before?
Well, first of all, what is being aware? Being aware is, in essence, the ability to think about how you think.
Yes.
And being aware, the first thing that is totally necessary is to get out of the conscious mindset of directly jumping at solutions. I call it the Mr. and Mrs. Fix syndrome. You can't find the solution before you become massively aware of the situation. Mm. And that takes enormous amount of listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one practice, and it seems so simple, but trust me, destroys probably half of the cases of divorce, if not all of them. It's really the number one reason of separation in any level. So the number one practice is learn to listen. Mm-hmm. Take time, or take 1-3 seconds before you say something in the discussion. Very simple. Magical.
So true.
To follow your lead. So when, and it just this model, you talk with anybody, take pauses. And I'm not even going to go as if don't interrupt them, which seems obvious. I mean, you might interrupt them as well. It's okay. Just make sure that you listen in profound levels. And that when they finish, count 1 to 3 seconds, because when somebody stops talking, doesn't mean they stop thinking. They're processing. And unless you give them the space and the time, with just 3 seconds, then you're never going to go deeper in their true self or their second thought or the third thought that actually gets them closer to their authentic self or what they truly mean, to put it a little bit heavier. One very simple practice daily. Start small. Just go one conversation a day or one conversation a week and say, just going to listen more active.
So true. And you were just saying, what this reminds me of is kind of wisdom. And now we're getting into semantics here. But when you were talking about, having knowledge, accumulating knowledge, but then also using that knowledge and being wise enough to not let your body decay and let these other parts of your life fall apart. You're talking about having the wisdom to think before you speak. And again, I know it's semantics, but don't you feel that intellect needs to be balanced with wisdom, or else it's really not the same type of tool?
Well, I'm just going to leave it at that because you couldn't put it better.
Love it.
It's exactly what it is. And that's the second leg. Yeah.
Yeah.
And going back to language, and I'm going to give maybe a couple of more practices as they come to me, but the non-verbals are the bigger player. Ah. We all heard that. I love you. And you say, you do?
No eye contact, not facing you, back is turned.
Why am I not convinced?
Why am I not convinced?
Okay, no, it's clear, it's obvious.
Wow.
So we're getting into NLP by definition touches enormously on emotions, because the unconscious is the sole domain of emotions. Conscious feels very awkward around them. And that's why you all had the lack of emotional intelligence studies in schooling, and hopefully now we're doing a little bit better. But we really talk about emotions. So when we use language, we do express a lot of emotions. But we don't know we do. But everybody else does, especially unconsciously. So and we're all very smart. So you know where you stand. You know the energy levels. You know what they're battling. You know their limitations. And of course, their projections as well. Back to you. Okay, let me just give you a couple more practices, easy ones, very simple ones. I'm just going to very much emphasize the power of writing.
Ah, writing.
So you see, when we pass the 7 years old, we get slowly conscious, we start questioning, et cetera, et cetera. Our conscious gets stronger, we start having our own opinions, we have experience. So eventually, hopefully, we become, or would like to think so, the adult, so the parent to ourselves.
Right.
We don't necessarily need, I don't know if it's 18, maybe sometimes it's 15, unfortunately, or 25 or 35. Everybody has their, we all have our own journey. But the thing is, when we write, it's the fastest way to tell our unconscious, which in a way represents the child in us, and the wisdom in us, that the parent, the conscious, knows what is going on. And remember, or get a vision of a child coming back from school and say, this happened to me, and they bullied me, da-da-da-da. But the moment they say it, and now it's with you, the parent, the child relaxes, and then they go play.
Yeah.
I said it, I expressed it.
That's a good point.
So writing does this for us. When we write, we basically lay down, and it's now a communication tool of, okay, this happened. And writing has so many forms, but it's also nice when you write off the cuff, and without preparation or thinking, very raw, go to nature under the tree, get your journal, get a notebook, start writing. And it's your safe place that you can absolutely go crazy and curse if you have to, because that will expand, yeah, lots of parts that you maybe don't allow them to be expressed, and they cause internal havoc. And then just by no means really back to you, you know, just throw it away. But that little practice ensures that these parts in you get the respect they deserve, because they have the reasons, because there's an emotion attached to that language.
Oh, I love it.
And it has to be expressed and come outside.
It's a great advice.
So, of course, talking about beliefs, again, right. We have technology, thank God, and a lot of technology. So we have our phones. We could record directly. We don't even need to, you know, the old machine that you had to buy, had to have specific settings. So anybody can just record themselves. So if you record in a way your thoughts on a subject, like externalizing your self-talk, and then you play it back and you listen, notice that's awareness. What words are you using? Which ones move you forward? Which ones hold you back?
Wow.
Which ones create obstacles? Which ones basically is the wind that takes you, you know, to cloud nine? So it's that's awareness. And by, again, putting it down and reading it again and again, you start seeing patterns. So writing is extremely important for language.
I love that.
The other thing, if I'm going to add, you know, to finish my answer to that question.
Please, yes.
Is when I was a kid again, I made sure, because of my books, and you said, to keep my books very, very new and gorgeous. Pay attention.
Pristine. Kept your books pristine.
Yes. And I was dreaming that I would turn 90 years old and I would have a building as big as, I don't know, in Petronas Towers, I live in Kuala Lumpur, and would be filled with thousands and thousands of books.
Nice.
I changed my mind. Now what I do is I read a book, I reread the book, I reread the book, and then I take markers, highlighters, and I choose words that I like, beliefs that I found, stories that I like.
That's cool.
Common ground. And I get the juice, and then I just make a summary. And then with all my love, I pass it on to the next person. So I create energy for the next book to come to me and the next idea. I mean, of course, I keep some. And I have to say, going back to the intellectual life and what this is, which is the life of the intellect, knowledge and ideas. Again, reading will ensure for higher intelligence, mm-hmm. and higher IQ.
Mm-hmm. But I love it.
You need the EQ, which comes with the unconscious studies, to learn to how to put it to practice and actually get your IQ to work better for you. And reading, I mean, you know, Bill Gates, I don't know if you read about Bill Gates, there's so many others. But Bill Gates is, you know, he recently had a documentary about his life and his work in Africa.
And how many books he reads? Is that what you're going to get to?
Yes, he has a bag of 10 books every day in a bag that prepared for him. And how can you more? I mean, these people, intelligent doesn't, I haven't seen an intelligent baby in the sense of IQ, like to start saying their math or, you know, reciting a poem. It needs energy and putting the time.
Yeah, it needs cultivating.
One
That's
lesson,
right.
Yes. I have to thank my cousin Arsenis that he reminded me again and again this year. I told him, oh, what about my book? Did you read it? He said, yeah, you know, I read it, but I'm going to read it a couple of times. You know, all my books, I read so many times.
Wow.
Because we have the mechanism of deletion, and you can't really incorporate everything you read depending on your emotional state at the moment you're reading. You're just keeping a fraction of what there is to be appreciated in the book. So reading a book and just saying, oh, yeah, I read about this book. I mean, clearly just 5% of what you can do with a book.
That's great. Three fantastic strategies. I love that. Thank you for sharing those with us, Eleni. I wanted to talk about a couple things that we talked about off air here. First of all, This idea that you proposed to me, the perception is projection principle. Talk to my audience about that, would you please?
Absolutely. During that NLP, my first NLP training, I got fascinated because it's one of the foundations of NLP. And it really started with Carl Jung. He really promoted it, and he basically was all about it all starts with you, change starts with you, your mindset will create your environment. And you might want to call it destiny, but once you open up and get aware of what there is in your unconscious, you will realize you have far more control than you ever imagined. And I'm just going to, you know, Ram Dass, he passed on last week, I think, a very famous American spiritual teacher.
Oh, yeah, and Ram Dass.
Ram Dass, yes. I mean, he will be here now, polishing the mirror. I mean, perceptual projection has a lot about to do with seeing yourself in the mirror. And I really got so fascinated, and I'm just going to talk a little bit more about it, but I wrote the book called Perceptual Projection. It's a book that I wrote on my own. It's my first book that I didn't contribute to another anthology or another personal development book, or I didn't call for it. It's my book because it's just so me, because it changed in so many ways my life. To understand that trying, making futile attempts to change the others by helping them, by talking to them, by creating space for them, by whatever, shouldn't be the focus. Focus should be to create space for me, to start with me as an empowerment, not blaming. I want this point very clear. Mm. The perceptual projection is all about taking responsibility that leads to empowerment. What can I do? Oh my God, I'm one, or if not the most complex object in the galaxy. What I have between my ears is just phenomenal. I better get to learn about it and make it work for me. Mm-hmm. And that will reflect my environment. So that's what it is. And Ram Dass said, what you meet in another being is actually a projection of your own level of evolution, which means you are with who you are. You project specific scenarios or traits, characteristics, because that's where in some ways you are busy with inside. And we were talking with my children the other day, and I said, Mom, explain again. We read the book, but explain again, even the 12 and 15. And I said, okay, let me put it this way. And I'm a very big fan also of Louise Hay, of the Hay House, and Louise Hay, for anybody who doesn't know her, and this isn't here, please get to know Louise Hay and the Hay House. She also recently died 3 years ago, but I don't know, she became 94, I think. Amazing story. Mm-hmm. And Louise Hay has been also very famous. I can recommend every single book of hers about the mirror work, which is a very tiny book and tells you every day to look in the mirror. And it has specific sentences talking about practices, how to get yourself esteem really on very high levels. So they were saying, okay, what about such projection of mirrors and everything? But look, how much time do you spend every day looking at yourself and looking at others? Like, how much time do you spend literally looking at you or me? So, well, we're looking at you far more than looking at us. So, of course, then you're going to focus on me. That's what you do. You are looking at me. And it's such an utopia. It's so, if you don't know about the unconscious, it's like, yeah, I'm looking at other people. That's why I'm going to be busy about their flaws and their talents and what they do well and where they need to improve. So it's a very important thing to be able to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And that would be a practice I would recommend. And feel free to buy the booklet. It's not a booklet, it's a small book of Louise Hay. Or just go and look yourself in the mirror for 2 minutes straight in silence and see what happens. Mm. And you might have an experience, very memorable experience, and then you can use that to talk to your unconscious and the being. So that's what perceptual projection is. And sometimes I am myself, and I hear, but Eleni, you can't be responsible for everything. And I'm saying, No. I have my days that I'm blaming the whole world. Many days. As long as I know that that will help.
Yeah, right.
We have
that's a good point.
Standard. I'm getting it out, and it's a nice, natural human.
That's a good way to put it. Yes.
Need to say, like, you know, F the whole world, seriously. Like, I mean, come on. We all have issues, and that's why they say stick to the people who bring you up. Why would you just beat yourself up and beating your head against the wall every day with a different kind of understanding of the world with people? I mean, come on. And I'm the first one to say divorce if you have to. But first, just make sure you know how your unconscious works, because you might find out it's for the wrong reason. So first make it work and then divorce. First find, you know, the friendship kind of connection with the, you know, between the other person and go at peace. So yeah, blaming and, you know, I'm getting, of course, I'm big and passionate, you know, all the stereotypes I have, I guess, and I honor them, and I'm getting better in taming them. But at the end of the day, if you want change, you have to go back and look yourself in the mirror and say, not because I'm blaming myself, but because I got this set of internal processes,
right,
which is what the unconscious is, things that happen automatically. I say the wrong things. I do things I wish I did. How can I work on that? Because then I have results.
Yes.
Yay.
That's empowering knowledge. You're right. I love that. I very much enjoy speaking with you, Eleni. This has been a pleasure. It really has. Before we wrap it up, though, I wanted to make sure and ask you this. Mm-hmm. You have a list of 5 simple ways to feed our intellectual life, and I would be so remiss if I didn't ask you to share them with us here at Lifebook.
I'm just going to repeat myself for the sake of repetition, because it's a very big, how do you call it?
Sure.
To repeat, why don't we call this a practice? You know when you need to tell your child something that they need to learn, and then you really lose your patience, or maybe in business environment to someone,
right?
And you go like, I've said this thousands of times.
Uh-huh.
When will you get it? Okay, so I'm going to build a chain between the 5 practices as they come now from my unconscious.
Ooh, perfect.
Straight from the oven. So first of all, this doesn't stand as an argument, because we learn when it's unconscious, and to learn and pass information to become a habit in our unconscious, it has to be done by repetition. And every person has different amount of repetition they need for different things. It's the way it is. And nobody can judge how much repetition one needs. Mm. So be prepared to repeat and repeat calmly.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And be ready to, like, repetition is how we work.
Right.
And to undo the things we want to unlearn from the first 7 years of our life, or even later, you know, we all have situations where we develop limitations later, or trauma. We basically need now to repeat and change the story. And just by saying something once, it doesn't make you, and the other person to getting it, it doesn't make them intellectual, let me tell you, which was a limiting belief in the past. So start changing your thought around this. That you're not intellectual, and you're not promoting intellectual life if you're are like a mouse, and you expect the other people being mice, or like, you know, running on the wheel.
Right.
Problem solution. So basically, be prepared for giving space to people, brainstorm, listen, and be prepared to repeat a lot.
Mm.
And repeat it to yourself as well. And that's why we have tools like hypnosis or affirmations and all that. It means an enormous amount of repetition.
Repetition,
so
I like that.
Start repeating. It's massive. So if you really want to be a true intellectual of 2020 and beyond, learn to love repetition. And that's the same thing I was saying about my cousin Arsenis and repetition by reading a book multiple times. To get it, it doesn't mean that, oh yeah, no, I read the book. Okay, are you practicing? It has to be repetition.
Right.
In your everyday life, choose. So if you go to a second practice, choose 2 things a week and build them up pass them on to your unconscious by the amazing tool of repetition. Like, that's the story I want. That's the story I want to build.
Nice.
In my leg. And repeat that story. Take your phone and just say the story the way you want it to unfold. And then before you go to sleep, just, you know, press play and go nicely to sleep. I mean, isn't that an amazing way? Why would you just...
That is really interesting. Yeah, I like that. Bed? I like that
so
a lot.
That would be basically number two.
Uh-huh.
And three, following the change, the story, we've got to change the story always. And NLP has an amazing tool we work heavily on, which is Redefine. And it has a resemblance, similarities with going always with a silver lining, seeing the good in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very big fan of that. I mean, in every big adversity, it's always nice to have the mercy and see the learning. That's how, I mean, life has cycles.
Sure.
Redefine can be even more practical.
Mm.
Like, that's the story you're playing. And so you go to everyone and a very, how do you call it, a big example of this. And especially in my early years, but even now, I mean, you don't know, you know, it doesn't make you not stopping learning. You know, I have a long way to go. The thing is, you go and you just say the story you don't want, 5 people every day, directly or indirectly. Start noticing that and start saying, what did I just say? I said that my parents did that. That is because I didn't get the diploma. It's because of my colleague who's stupid and doesn't get it. Well, my manager wouldn't promote me because he's an alcoholic. And you're just playing that story. So
right.
Start redefining. And by redefining is, oh, whatever happens, and if it was a projection of you, what is it? Can you learn something from that situation? And how would you redefine? I mean, somebody shouts at you, right? A pure redefining example would be, well, they do express their emotions. They still give you a chance. You know, be more afraid about when they go silent or walk away.
Right.
You know, couples that still fight, they have a chance. Couples that don't talk for a year, well, they have less chance.
Right.
So redefining is, so what is the situation could have as a gift for me? What could I learn? How could I take good advantage of what is happening? And use that to change the story.
Redefine,
which
I like
the way
that.
You're going to record and, and change the story. You can just literally journaling, write the story you want. What do you want? As crazy as it may be, but look at it. That's what I want. And if you think something is crazy, well, based on who, on what? Just only by writing it down, you will be able to work with it.
Oh,
otherwise,
yeah.
It all stays in your head and becomes noise. So
that's
then,
right.
You know, we change the story. Please, by all means, repeat the story, record the story and all that, redefine. And for all that, you need the language. And you need to develop the language. So just connecting a little bit the dots of what we talked about.
Sure.
Then you have absolutely got to do something about contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this. Good. How is it going to benefit the person next to me? So without them having to do anything.
That's
so
what it all adds up
the
to.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check ecology. I mean, changing the story by like, you know, I want a bigger house. I'm just going to go next door and kill my neighbor. He has a big house. That should sort it. So my change is check ecology and check how can you actually be of more value to your neighbor. Okay, you know what? I'm doing all these things. How could I make people feel better? How could I contribute in them feeling and better? And that basically would make them become closer to us and then be more productive.
Yes.
So focus on how are you going to use that intellect, which for me is not anymore conscious. It's conscious and unconscious.
That's great.
And
I love that. And
as last... Thank you. Very last, which is very, it would be learn, and I'm talking about parents, I'm talking about spouses, working groups, I'm talking about kids, I'm talking about business people, I'm talking about every single human being. The power of feedback. get proactively ready and not prepare just for one occasion, but start with that. You need to really get a habit of giving valuable feedback. Don't just open your mouth. If you go next day to work and you say, that's on my mind, I'm going to tell them. How are you going to tell them?
Yes.
When are you going to tell them? Are they prepared to hear it? What is your emotional state? And before you tell them, by all means, check if you're just going to tell them something that absolutely applies first on you. Because you might already give that feedback to yourself, and you might find out that by taking it on board, the situation is already sorted. So be very, very, as a practice, focus on how well prepared you go about exchanging feedback.
Thoughtful.
And
I love
that. It's the way it is.
Yeah, all those questions.
Which is intellect.
Yeah, yeah, all of those questions were very, very powerful questions to ask yourself in any kind of like relationship engagement.
I will leave it at that. You know, if I continue, it's going to be a much longer session. I'm sure.
This was fantastic, Eleni. Seriously, I think this was. I've done a lot of intellectual month interviews, and this was one of my favorites.
Thank you
so much for being here today and sharing this with us.
Thank you for giving me the space and the time.
Of course. Now, for my audience who's interested in you and your work, where can we send them to find out more about what you do?
Yes. Well, one of my main websites, the starting point one, is www.life-spheres.com. And because then I went corporate, I did the business sphere sequence, so www.business-spheres.com. And
awesome.
Then, of course, I have the websites of my books that, you know, it's the Perceptual Projection, it's the Everyday NLP that I co-authored and just came out with a lot of practices. Every chapter has practices, and it really is all about NLP and how to apply it during every day. I co-authored it with my good friend, Florence Madden. And then I have my own ElleniSarandino.com. Which is all about me, life, personally, and professionally.
Awesome. Everybody check it out. Check out the book, Everyday NLP. Check out lifespheres.com, businessspheres.com, everywhere you can find Eleni.
With a dash in the middle.
Dash in the middle, yes.
Yeah. If I may add, I'm in Crossroads. I think this is very special. I have to talk to the viewer and the audience, Jordan. In 2 days, literally 2 days. But in 2 days, I'm getting on that plane with my family. And we're moving back to the Netherlands. We relocate our residence.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, it's a very special period for us. And it goes, you know, with, of course, double feelings of awe and love for the Malaysian people who had us here for 10 years. We learned so much. We grew so much. We love you. And the whole Asia that has been so hospitable and such a learning curve. And now we're going back in a way, for me, definitely home, even if I'm Greek. Netherlands is really home as well. And that means that my base, whatever you see in live streams and all that, and you might get confused, I won't have time to immediately change everything, but I'm going to be based in Holland, which all my courses that I always run in Europe will just double. And I will still come back to Malaysia and Singapore.
That's wonderful.
Philippines, Indonesia.
That's really great. I'm such a fan of the Netherlands, and I'm happy that you could use my platform to kind of announce that and say your farewells. That's really, really cool. I would love to touch base again anytime. You are a welcome guest on the show, Eleni. Thank you so much for doing this.
Jordan, thank you. And I'm going to take, 30 more seconds for the kindness, the intellect in every level, the emotional intelligence, and the fun.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You are welcome here anytime. All you Lifebook listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. We appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. Stay tuned for more intellectual content for Emotional Month coming up next month. Always love an Emotional Month, and I look forward to seeing you there. This is Eleni and Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day out there, people. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.